Krishna Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astotarasata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishu Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 30, the disappearance of Yadu dynasty, verses number 6 to 26. So we're going to be chanting 21 verses today. So ready for it? Only 21 verses. So what I'm going to do is not what we are going to do together, is we're going to chant all the Sanskrit together. And then, and we have Madan Mohan Prabhu who is going to expertly go from one verse to the another, so there is no gap in between. And then we'll just chant all those verses, and then I will just comment on one verse at a time, wherever there is some comment I have. So everybody is ready?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, verse number 6. Okay, I'll be good. Ready, set, go.
Striyo balascha vriddhascha shankodharam vrajantyatha vayam prabhasam yasyamo yatra pratyak saraswati. Tatra bhishitya suchaya uposhya su samahita Devata puja ishyama snapanalena hatnai.
Brahmanastu mahabhagan krita svasya yanavayam gobhu hiranya vasobhi gajasvaratha veshmabhi. Vidhiresha hiyarishthagno mangalayanam uttamam devadvija gavam puja bhuteshu paramo bhava.
Iti sarve samakarnya yadu vidha madhu dvisha tateki nobhir uttirya Prabhasam prayayurathai.
Tasmin bhagavata dishtam yadu devena yadava chakru paramya bhaktya sarvashayopabhimhitam.
Tasmin mahapanam Papur mereyakam madhu dishta vibhamsita dhiyo yadra vaibhasyate mati.
Mahapana bhimattanam viranam vritta cetasam krishna maya vimubhanam sandharsham sumahanabhu.
Yuyudhu krodha samrabha velayam atataina dhanurbhir asibir bhalle gadabhi somarashtibhi.
Okay, how does it? Ragatmika.
Ratakunjara.
Pat, pat, pat.
Chakrajubi karoshti adhobhi mahishanararapi Nikasametya shvatarai sudurmada Nyaham sharai gadhir ivadvi khavale Pradyumna sambhau yudhirudham hatsaram Akula bhojavani ruddha satyati Subhadra samrama jita sudarunau Kadao sumitta suratau samiyatu
Anecha jevai vishato
mutadaya Sahasa jichata jibhanu mukhyaya Anyona masadya madandha karita Jagnu mukundena vimohita bhisham Dashara vishnyam dhaka bhoja sattvata Madhvar buddha matura shure shrenaha Visarjana tukuratam tayascha Mithasu jagnu su visijya sohidam Putrāyurvam pitribhirvaratibhishya Svashriyadahitta pitribhyamātulai Mitrāni mitrāi suhridāsuhidhir Yātim svaham ajātara eva murha Shareshu hiyamaneshu Bhajyamaneshu dhanvasu Shastreshu kshiyamaneshu Mushtibhi jahurenaka Tattavajakalpahya bhavan Parigha mushtinabhita Jhagnu dvishastai krishnena Varyamana sutam chate Pratyanikam manyamana Balabhadram cha mohita Hantum krita dhiyo rajan Appanna atataina Atthapi sankrudhav Udyamya kuru nandana Eraka mushti parighau Charantau jhagnatu yudhi Brahma shapopashishtanam Krishna maya vritamanam Svardha krodhakshayam ninye Vaina vogni yathavanam Evam nashteshu sarveshu Kuleshu shveshu keshava Avatarito bhuvabhara Iti mene vasheshitaha Rama samudra velayam Yogam asaya parusham Tatyaja lokam manushyam Samyojyatmanam atmani Thank you.
Okay, so this morning we have the first four verses are spoken by Krishna, and then Sukadeva Goswami speaking. For me, you know, the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, the best part was Krishna speaking. You can get to know somebody on how they speak, somewhat at least. If you believe it or not, it's been 2 years we've been hearing Krishna speaking. I mean, I went and checked. We started in Uddhava Gita, this chapter 7, we started start of March 2017, and we ended in, it's good now? We ended in January last month. Yes, the nicest part was for me, Uddhava Gita, is Krishna, how he speaks. Not so much the philosophy, because the philosophy sometimes was very intricate. He's speaking to Uddhava, and therefore Uddhava is, you know, a genius, and so he speaks in that language. You see that when he's speaking to Arjuna, he's speaking the same philosophy to Arjuna and to Uddhava. Same philosophy, but he's spoken very differently. But you also see in how he speaks to Uddhava, and you can kind of compare it to Arjuna, it's very different. You kind of see his relationship as Uddhava. Both are very intimate friends. Both of them are very, very intimate friends. But how he addresses Uddhava is so different than how he addresses Arjuna. He addresses Arjuna in the very start, indirectly, that he was a fool. Presenting yourself to be a pandit, but you're actually a fool. Indirectly, he said that. With Uddhava, he's calling him Mahamate, or learned person. A lot of different places you see the rasa between that, between Uddhava and Krishna, how Krishna speaks. So it's sad to see that we won't be hearing him speak, but by Krishna's mercy, I get to speak at least the first a few verses, where Krishna is, his speech is going to be ending here today. Actually, he speaks one more verse to Jara. But his speech to his devotees, his intimate devotees, is ending today. So I'm just going to go through these verses and comment in between, because there's not really any purpose here in these 21 verses. But for the continuity, I would say the English verse that Krishna spoke, the last verse he spoke. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O leaders of the Yadu dynasty, verse number 5. I'm starting from 6, but for the continuity, I'm repeating verse number 5. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O leaders of the Yadu dynasty, please note all these terrible omens that have appeared in Dwarka, just like the flags of death. We should not remain here a moment longer. The women, children, and old men should leave this city and go to Shankodhara. We shall go to Prabhashetra, where the river Saraswati flows towards the west. Here, a great calamity is coming. And what does Krishna say initially? He's thinking about protecting. Before he is thinking about taking care of the calamity, first of all, he's thinking, how do I protect those who need protection? The women, the children, and the old men. I think kind of it covers everybody's here. Women, children, maybe children are not here, but women, and I know all you old men are not old men, you're young, but I guess maybe most of you are above 50, so might be old. But yes, he's concerned about them first. Women, children, and old men. And he's going to take them to another place. And we shall go to Prabhashetra, a holy place. Small purport, the word vayam here refers to the able-bodied male members of the Yadu dynasty. So he wants the able-bodied male members to come and be fighting for the cause. Like Abhaya and Govinda, and you know, you have to go in the forefront and help Krishna to do what he wants to do. So this is what he's saying. Able-bodied men need to go there. So you just think about what Krishna is saying and how he's thinking. Next verse. There we should bathe for purification fast, and fix our minds in meditation. So here he's saying, first he's telling the Yadu dynasty, the Yadu members, specifically the able-bodied male members, that they are going to first purify their body externally, bathe. Then fasting, that means internally, not mind, but the body internally, by fasting, we purify ourselves. And then, he says, fix our minds. Then we concentrate our minds. So bathing first, fasting, and then meditation. We should then worship the demigods by bathing their images, anointing them with sandalwood pulp, and presenting them various offerings. So he's basically saying, he's been telling Uddhava how to worship. In Uddhava's case, he was telling how to worship him, himself. And these are the things that he told him by bathing his deity form and offering sandalwood pulp and various offerings. In front of the Yadu dynasty, he's saying, we're going to do that for the demigods. After performing the expiatory rituals, whatever that means, I didn't look it up. Anybody knows what that means? Anyway, nobody kind of... What's that?
To make up for.
Oh, okay, thank you. So after performing the expiatory rituals with the help of greatly fortunate Brahmas, we will worship those Brahmas by offering them cows, land, gold, clothing, elephants, horses, chariots, and dwelling places. So he's just delineating what exactly he thinks that they should do. Worship the demigods, then do that with the help of the brahmanas. And then again, after getting the help from the brahmanas, to offer them things in charity. This is indeed the appropriate process for counteracting our imminent adversity, and it is sure to bring about the highest good fortune. Such worship of the demigods, brahmanas, and cows can earn the highest birth for all living entities. Next verse. So Krishna has stopped speaking here. Now, having heard these words from Lord Krishna, the enemy of Madhu, the elders of the Yadu dynasty gave their assent, saying, so be it. So it's interesting to note that what's happening here is that Krishna is just not telling them what to do. He's speaking in front of the elders, and he's asking their permission. He's suggesting something. This is how we can kind of see how what Krishna's nature is by his speech and what we hear. He is very respectful to his elders. He's not telling them, he's asking them. And it's interesting what he asked, what he's suggesting them. When I read that, I was thinking, wow, you know, he's, I guess, around 125 years old now, because that's when he was here on the earth for 125 years. And at this stage, he's telling them to worship the demigods. Now, we do know something, that Krishna has said something differently other times, yeah, about the demigods. We were just reading in our Srimad Bhagavatam reading about Govardhan Lila. And we know what Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj and to all the elders there. And he was saying not to worship the demigod, specifically Indra here. I really like the verse, how he approaches, you know, how his speech is so enchanting. Here he is telling not to worship the demigod, I mean, to worship the demigods, and the Yadu members are saying, so be it. No problem. They have no problem with that. But the same Krishna told previously, although they weren't to the Yadu families, but to Anand Maharaj and the Brijabasis, What is it? How is it that Krishna says and it becomes so be it? This verse that he said is so attractive. He says, I'll say the Sanskrit, etan mama matam tata kriyatam yadi rochate ayam go brahmanadrinam mahiyam cha daito makha. So he addresses Krishna, Krishna addresses Nand Maharaj, tata. Tata means father. Tata can be addressed to any elderly person. Tata can also be addressed to somebody younger. And I was trying to think some word like that, you know, because addressing somebody elder, that means it has to be respectful, of awe and reverence. But somebody junior, it means affectionate. So how is that the same word? And tata does mean father. But he uses that word tata to bring affection. In the English word, I thought the word sweetheart. Sweetheart has, from my understanding, you know, they say my high school sweetheart. So that's, I think sweetheart, my high school sweetheart means my high school girlfriend or whatever, you know. But then, so maybe that sweetheart specifically means for that. But then sweetheart can be used for otherwise too. I mean, at the cashier, I've experienced people calling me sweetie. Maybe not sweetheart, but same thing, sweetheart, sweetie. So that's an affection. I felt very good, actually. You know, my tilak and my sari didn't make her feel uncomfortable. She was able to say to me, sweetie, or honey, even I've heard that. So you can call sweetheart, sweetie, or you would even call somebody elder. She was an older lady, but, you know, I could say to my husband, sweetheart. I haven't done that, but I could say himself by saying sweetheart. And that's fine, yeah? Elderly, younger. So what it brings, it has such a nice feeling, tata. So that's just giving you some idea how that word tata is. So he's saying to his father, tata, etam mama matam. You know, this is my opinion. In other words, he said, he gave all the reasons that why he should not do the Indrajagya. He should use all the things that he has for worshipping Govardhan. So this is my opinion. In other words, you take it or leave it. And we know he always says, even to Arjun, he says that, you know, in the end, you know, whatever you do is fine with me. In other words, do whatever you wish to do. After he gives them the whole philosophy, then he says, do as you wish to do. So that's Krishna. Then he says, kriyatam yadi rochate. Even the word kriyatam is so respectfully expressed. You know, if you desire to do so, what I have said, you know, you may do that. No, kriyatam yadi, you do whatever, however you want, but this is my opinion. And then he says, such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, to the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill. So what is more valuable to Nanda Maharaj than the cows and the brahmanas? What is more dear to him? And he says, Govardhan Hill. And then he said, and to me. And to me. So, you know, this will be very dear to me as well. So this is my opinion, do whatever you wish, but this will be pleasing to everybody, but to me as well. So why would Nanda Maharaj not listen to something so sweet? It's interesting, I was meditating on this verse, and then just last night, while preparing for the class, I thought, oh, let me look at Krishna's quality, speech quality, in the Nectar Devotion. And amazingly, this particular verse was given as under the fluent, Krishna is fluent, and describes that one cowherd lady was so enchanted by Krishna's speech, specifically about convincing Nanda Maharaj to worship Govardhan Puja. She said that it was like Krishna poured nectars into the ears of all those who were there. So you can see that he was just, Krishna's speech was so enchanting. So here it is. Here he's saying, worship the demigods. And the other dynasty is saying, so be it. There, Krishna is saying, don't worship the demigods. Then they say, so be it. Whatever Krishna says, that's Krishna. And by the way, he was propounding Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So an atheistic philosophy. Krishna is doing that, and yet they say, so be it. Okay, that's something about Krishna's speech. Next verse. There, with great devotion, after crossing over the ocean in boats, they proceeded on chariots to Prabhasa. There, with great devotion, the Yadavas performed the religious ceremonies according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their personal Lord. Do you see how it says, their personal Lord? Because the word is described in the, it says Yadava, Yadu Devena. So they are Yadava and he is Yadu Devena. So they are his personal Lord. So it makes a difference. Yeah, he may be Lord for everybody else, but he's our personal Lord. Shyamasundara is our personal Lord. Krishna Balarama, they are our personal Lord. We have affection for our personal Lord. Although they may be Shyamasundara in Vrindavan and Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, but our Shyamasundara, they're our personal Lord. Krishna Balaram are our personal Lord. Gaurinitya are our personal Lords. They're our personal Lord. So each word is so important here. They also perform various other auspicious rituals. So they followed what Krishna told them, their personal Lord told them, but they also performed other auspicious rituals. Then what happens? Then their intelligence covered by providence, they liberally indulged in drinking the sweet Maria beverage which can completely intoxicate the mind. Purport. The word dishta here indicates the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the first chapter of this canto, The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty, this incident is elaborately explained. I was thinking about how Prabhupada, I think he said to Shuddha Kirti Prabhu, he had his bead bag, and he says, I have chanted my 16 rounds, and he threw the bead bag, and he said, now I can do any damn thing I want to. So that's what I was thinking when I read that, because now they did everything what Krishna told them. They performed all the rituals and everything, and now they're going to party. So they drank. The heroes of the Yadu dynasty became intoxicated from their extravagant drinking and began to feel arrogant. Okay, in case you're thinking, what happens when you get intoxicated? You become arrogant, so please don't try that. When they were thus bewildered by the personal potency of Lord Krishna, a terrible quarrel arose among them. Infuriated, they seized their bows and arrows, swords, bhallas, clubs, lances, and spears, and attacked one another on the shore of the ocean. Riding on elephants and chariots, with flags flying, and also on donkeys, I mean, that's inauspicious, but they were riding on donkeys, camels, bulls, buffaloes, mules, and even human beings. Wow! Intoxication, what it can do. The extremely enraged warriors came together and violently attacked one another with arrows, just as elephants in the forest attack one another with their tusks. Human, they rode on each other. Their mutual enmity aroused, Pradyumna fought fiercely against Sambha, Akura against Kunti Bhoja, Aniruddha against Satyaki, Subhadra against Sangramajit, Sumitra against Suratha, and the two Gadas against each other. Others also, such as Nishartha, Ulmukha, Sahasrajit, Shatajit, and Bhanu confronted and killed one another, being blinded by the intoxication and thus completely bewildered by Lord Mukunda himself. So basically, well, here we'll say, completely abandoning their natural friendship, the members of the various Yadu clans, the Dashaharas, the Vrishnis, the Antakas, the Bhojas, Satvatas, Madhus, Arbudas, and the Mathuras, Shirasenas, Visarjanas, Kukuras, and Kuntis all slaughtered one another. Thus bewildered, sons fought with fathers, brothers with brothers, nephews with paternal and maternal uncles, and grandsons with grandfathers. Friends fought with friends and well-wishers with well-wishers. In this way, intimate friends and relatives all killed one another. When all their bows and had been broken and their arrows had and other missiles spent, they seized the tall stalks of cane with their bare hands. As soon as they took these cane stalks in their fists, the stalks changed into iron rods as hard as thunderbolts. With these weapons, the warriors began attacking one another again and again. And when Lord Krishna tried to stop them, they attacked him as well. Now, remember, Shyamakishore Prabhu was saying the other day, this is illusory potency and internal potency. And as we read, this is all by the arrangement of Lord Krishna. And like I mentioned the other chapter that earlier about while describing that Lord Krishna had to take the Yadu dynasty back to the spiritual world. He couldn't leave it here. And so this is by his arrangement. They tried to stop them and attacked him as well. They tried to attack Krishna as well. In their confused state, O king, they also mistook Lord Balaram for an enemy. Weapons in hand, they ran towards him with the intention of killing him. It almost seems like Lord Balaram was minding his own business. He always does, yeah? He didn't care for the Mahabharata war. Krishna went and tried to stop them, but Balaram didn't. But they ran towards him with the intention of killing him. O son of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram then became very angry. Picking up cane stalks, they moved about within the battle and began to kill with these clubs. So at that time, Krishna couldn't handle it, and neither could Balaram. So it's like, okay, let's take care of this situation. The violent anger of these warriors who were overcome by the Brahmana's curse and bewildered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency now led them to their annihilation, just as a fire that starts in a bamboo grove destroys the entire forest. When all the members of his own dynasty were thus destroyed, Lord Krishna thought to himself that at last the burden of the earth had been removed. And that's what he came for. That's why Lord Brahma had asked him to please come to this earth to remove the burden of the earth. So we know from chapter 1 of Krishna book that how that is there. So now he feels a relief that that's taken care. Lord Balaram then sat down on the shore of the ocean and fixed himself in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Merging himself within himself, he gave up this mortal world. So now Balaram has gone, and we will soon we will know that Krishna is also going back to the spiritual world. And then the 12th canto comes, and what's happening? Kali Yuga comes. So Krishna has gone, and Kali Yuga comes. And in 2019, we're on the 108th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam experiencing Kali Yuga. But Sanatana Goswami says, do not worry. Although Krishna has gone, he says, Krishna has returned. He describes, he says, Shri Krishna Parivartate, Kali Dhvanto Dita Ditya, Shri Krishna Parivartate. He says, Krishna has returned. In what form? That's right. In this Srimad Bhagavatam, this holy book, in these holy books, Shri Krishna has returned. Actually, Shri Krishna, very nice prayers Sanatana Goswami says in regards to Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Mad eka bandhu, mad sangin, mad guru, mad matha, mad mahadhana, mad nistayaka, mad bhagya, mad ananda, namostute. He offers his obeisances to Srimad Bhagavatam. Please hear these prayers very carefully. We hear the heart of Sanatana Goswami, and he, from hearing his heart, we can follow him in his footsteps. He says, Mad eka bandho. He says, Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, you're my only friend. Mad eka bandho. You're my only friend. But you know, there could be all kinds of friends. In this, your friend could be a Facebook friend, yeah? But no. He says, no, it's not a distant friend. It's not a Facebook friend. Mad eka bandho mad sangin. You're my companion. Companion is somebody who stays next to you, with you. So he's friendship means he's somebody you're intimate with. But he's not a distant friend, he's right next to you. So he says, you're my sangin, you're my companion. But what kind of friend or companion? Somebody you're going to shoot the breeze with? No. He says, Mad Guru. You are my guru, my friend, my companion, my guru. In other words, one who will guide me. But then he says, one may ask, but fine, he's your guru, he's your friend. But what all the things that you need in this world to live? He says, Man Mahadhana, he's my wealth. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam, you are my wealth. And what kind of wealth that Srimad Bhagavatam gives? Mad Nistaraka Mad Bhagya. You will deliver, you're the good fortune, and you will deliver me from this material world. But all this gritting are my teeth? No, Mad Ananda. You give me bliss. That's how he offers his respects to Srimad Bhagavatam. My friend, my companion, my guru, my wealth, my deliverer, my good fortune, my bliss. Obeisance is to you, Srimad Bhagavatam. But one may ask, but what about all my unsaintliness that I have? He says in the next verse, Asadhu sadhuta daim. Ati nicharocha taraka. Hana munchin kadachin ma premna hit kantayo sphura. He's saying, asadhu sadhuta dain. Yes, I may have unsaintly qualities, but you are the giver of saintliness. So in case you're wondering, how will my qualities, my anarthas, will disappear? Sanatana Goswami says that Srimad Bhagavatam takes away this unsaintliness within us. And then he says, Ati nichocha taraka. He uses the same word about himself. Now remember, he's not thinking somebody else. Sanatana Goswami is thinking about himself because he uses the same word, nicha jati, nicha sanghi, yes. He uses the same words when he's talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describing himself that he's very low. Here he's saying, Ati nicha, I am so low, but uccha taraka, you're the uplifter of those who are low. And then he feels separation. He's seeing, think about all the qualities of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he says, Ha, na munchin ma kadachin. Please, don't ever leave me. Don't ever leave me, Srimad Bhagavatam, because you are everything to me. And then he says, O Shrimad Bhagavatam, please, hit prema, hit kanta yours pura. Please, with love, full of love in my heart and my kanta in my throat, let you be manifested. So these are the prayers of Sanatan Goswami towards Shrimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Kali Yuga is here. Yes, Lord Krishna is going back to the spiritual world, and Kali Yuga is coming, but he has returned in the form of Shrimad Bhagavatam. It's so important that we keep Shrimad Bhagavatam as our companion, and we discuss this philosophy amongst the devotees. Sometimes, when you're reading by yourself, I know different things happen, like you start dozing off. But when you're amongst the devotees, it's so nice. Devotees, they share their realizations. So, you know, just like Shyam Kishore Prabhu, the other day, he was giving the class on Thursday. And to be honest, I really felt like, you know, he pulled the rug under me when he was talking about, you know, the pastime not happening, although he said happening, it didn't happen. But I realized he was saying, Mataji, could you just pick up your feet a little bit and let me unfold the rug so that you can see what you're standing on? He opened the eyes to see it differently, to see, understand things in a different manner, in different insight. Or we have a Srimad Bhagavatam reading, sometimes in bigger classes like that, sometimes some devotees don't speak up. So it's important that we have small reading groups. We have in one of our reading groups, Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one devotee who's a scientist. She's a physicist, I think. And she always has such nice realizations she expresses, such sweet realizations. And she has a French accent, so it makes it just sweeter. Now you won't hear a single word from the devotee here. And she's sitting right amongst us right now, Dandakesh Mataji. But she has so much to say, so many realizations, and so many nice questions. That's what happens when you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in a group of devotees, maybe a small group, as I said. Sometimes devotees don't express in the class. But it is so important that we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, hear the realizations, and we'll never feel separation. We'll never feel like, Krishna has gone, and what are we going to do? And Krishna spoke this to Arjuna, and we weren't there. And no, between Srila Prabhupada's purpose and purpose of his followers who have so nicely, followers of Srila Prabhupada who have followed in his footsteps, so carefully written the purpose of 11th canto and 12th canto. It's just such an amazing thing. So this is what I have to say today, is that let's keep on hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam more and more amongst each other, and start loving Krishna more and more. If you have any questions, please ask now. Any comments, realizations? Remember I said this is Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to share our realizations, so please go ahead and share your realizations. Yes, Hemavati Mataji.
It's actually a very simple one. Mm-hmm. It's almost ridiculous, but when you said that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and in a completely different way to Uddhava, mm-hmm. I felt, yeah, Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita in his personal way to each of us.
Yes.
I felt like that.
Thank you. Thank you so, so much. That is so true. Like, again, Shyam Kishore Prabhu, I think, was quoting our Pani Bhushan Prabhu here, that he is the Supreme Personality of God and supremely personal. And yes, he is supremely personal. He speaks to us the Gita also in our own personal way. That's a very, very nice realization. Thank you. I mean, how just to see how he addresses Krishna and how he addresses Arjuna and how he addresses Uddhava, just to see that is just so beautiful. Anyway, yes. Any other comments, realizations? I'm not moving from here. Yes, Mother Mohan Prabhu.
There's this one purport that this just reminded me of. And it says, I put it up on the board there. Such pure devotees always merged in knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations. As great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in their scientific academies. Such exchanges of thoughts in regard to Krishna give pleasure to the Lord, who therefore favors such devotees with all enlightenment.
It's just too crazy because that you said that, because Krishna wanted to hear, Krishna wanted all the devotees to hear that, because I have written here as one of the things to say that I didn't say, and you were actually saying, that's just amazing. Especially because I was thinking about Dandakeshwar, who, you know, a scientist who expresses those things. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Any other thoughts, Rasamita? Rasamita is right there.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't raise my hand, but Mother Vanavati wants me to speak. I was just appreciating. Thank you so much for showing, enlightening us, and shining light upon how merciful the Bhagavatam is and how it's such a great shelter. And actually, I really feel that, and I really experienced that. And like moving back to Alachua 2 years ago, I just felt such an ocean of mercy coming to the Bhagavatam classes. Mm. And it's just so auspicious with all the devotees, so powerful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments on anything? Yes, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Just in reference to the other comment, that this one here was in 10.14.7 seemed to line up well too. It says, Srila Sanatana Goswami further explains that the Lord manifests a specific spiritual quality for the benefit of each living entity, since there are innumerable living entities within the confines of the material creation. The Lord manifests an infinite quality. Thus, each conditioned soul can appreciate the Supreme Lord in a particular way.
Thank you. So let's all of us merge ourselves into the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam here. Hear them every day in the Bhagavatam class and otherwise. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.